Doug, are we good? Okay. Call to order. Sunshine Statement, this regular meeting of the mayor and the council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting it in the borough hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Crowley? Mr. Barakia? Mr. Bombs?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a moment of silence for all the children in Texas and then the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. So I need a motion, a second, for approval of previous meeting minutes for May 12,
2022. I'll move that, Dr. Second, Longs.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
Thank you. And right now we have no unfinished business or workshop, so we can go right to public comment on agenda items only. I'm going to start with people here. Okay. Is there anyone on Zoom?
No hands raised, Mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you. So then we will move on to our consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion if detailed deliberation is desired on any item. Council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 102, sale of the surplus equipment, the sanitation truck. By any chance, anyone look outside or brand new?
Shiny.
Yes. Resolution 103, the LGBTQ Pride Month.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. This is wonderful. Thank you, everybody, for doing this again. Whereas our nation was founded on the principle of equal rights for all people, but the fulfillment of this promise has been long coming for many Americans. Some of the most inspiring moments in our history have arisen from the various civil rights movements that have brought one group after another from the margins to the mainstream of American society. And whereas in the movement toward equal rights for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer-identifying LGBTQIA+ people, a historic turning point occurred in New York City on June 28, 1969, with the onset of the Stonewall Riots. During these riots, LGBTQIA+ citizens rose up and resisted police enforcement that arose out of discriminatory criminal laws that have since been declared unconstitutional. In the 5 decades since, civil rights for LGBTQIA people have progressed substantially, and LGBTQ pride celebrations have taken place around the country every June to commemorate the beginning of the Stonewall riots. And whereas in communities throughout the country, some barriers that limit the potential of LGBTQIA+ Americans have been torn down, but too many continue to encounter discrimination and unfair treatment. There are unique challenges faced by sexual and gender minorities, especially transgender and gender nonconforming individuals of all skin tones, but especially people of color. And whereas all people deserve to live with dignity and respect, free from fear and violence, and protected against discrimination, during Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Queer Pride Month, we celebrate the proud legacy of LGBTQIA+ individuals that have woven into the fabric of our nation, our state, our borough. We honor those who have fought to perfect our union, and we continue our work to build a society where every child grows up knowing that their country supports them, is proud of them, and has a place for them exactly as they are. And now, therefore, be resolved that the mayor and council, again, hereby dedicates the month of June 2022 as LGBTQIA Pride Month and celebrate the great diversity of our residents and direct the Progress Pride flag to be flown in front of Atlantic Highlands Borough Hall in recognition for the month of June.
Okay, thank you. Resolution 104, the salary resolution, and then Resolution 105, payment of bills.
I'll move it.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda have passed.
Okay, and now we're moving to Ordinance 7, the adoption of the floodplain management regulations. I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Mayor, Councilman Crowley has joined.
Okay.
Councilman Crowley, can you hear us?
John?
Okay. So Mayor, that was, I think it's an introduction of Ordinance 7, right?
Right.
So we should do a roll call.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Ordinance 7.
Wait, Mr. Crowley's done.
Was he there for the whole?
Councilman Crowley, we are working on resolution.
Ordinance.
Ordinance.
Sorry.
This is Ordinance 07 floodplain?
That's correct, 07-2022. Were you able to hear that?
Yes, I certainly was, thank you. My vote is yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry about that, Doug.
Ordinance 7-2022 has been properly introduced, public hearing and possible adoption on June 9th.
Okay. Ordinance 8, the bond ordinance, just an introduction. I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Crowley?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Ordinance 8-2022 has been properly introduced, public hearing and possible adoption June 9th.
Okay, so moving on, reports, Councilman Murphy?
Not a whole lot tonight, Mayor. Recreation, there's nothing new with recreation. At the meeting, we talked about potential ideas for the summer, but I would direct all residents just to go to the recreation website just to see the update on recreation basketball. We are still looking for counselors at this time, but I think those that actually might be getting filled soon. So.
Okay.
The Public Works, we do have some stuff to talk about for DPW. Give me a second. And as many of you may have noticed, the new sanitation truck, which is outside, has arrived. The new truck 604 will be replacing truck 607, a 2001 with 140,000 miles on it. It's over 21 years old and ready to be replaced. So take a look at that outside if you get a chance. The vehicle has served the borough well, and it's time to move on to the next one. The borough engineer, CME, conducted an initial inspection of the wall on Upper Prospect Road. CME will be gathering information and testing the structural integrity of the wall. The wall is tentatively scheduled to be rebuilt in 2023, pending CME's reports and findings. DPW is out with road patch and traffic line painting. You will notice them. Please be careful as you drive by. Water well number 4 is up and running at the water plant after its redevelopment. We are asking all the residents to correctly sort and process recycling on the route and at the borough yard. Please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and borough information. As always, any issues, please contact Jimmy Phillips, 848-444-0067. Nothing for first aid, and I will let the other councilman talk about the rest. So,
okay, thank you, Councilman Hohenleitner.
Thank you, Mayor. So we've met once since the harbor met. I will like to give a report on the towboat building. The engineer and the architect were able to visit the towboat building and to do some water testing last week, and they found multiple places where there is water coming in through the siding, so they did a really great full report that will be submitted to the builder. Our attorney's involved, but I spoke to Mr. Wall today, the chairman, and he said he's confident that it's a very thorough report and that the builder will be responsible for making those repairs. So
good.
That's great news. The blessing of the fleet will be June 4th. We don't have another meeting before then, so there's a full range of programming on that day, but it's a really nice day down in the harbor. What time does it start? Do you remember? No? Anybody here? I think it starts at noon, but I will, it'll be available on the borough website. But that's exciting. We have renewed the lease for the Tobo building, which is also good news. And that is it for Harbor, because we gave a finance report at the last meeting. Open space, Mr. Romeyer and I were able to visit the property that is down by Center Avenue Park to just talk about potentially what we would be thinking about in terms of asking the borough to budget. Open space is looking to set aside a certain amount of money to hire a planner to help us when we fully acquire the property, to what we're going to do with it and look at it holistically, including the existing buildings that are on the property that we already own, so that we're looking at the whole project as opposed to just a parcel. And I think that's it for open space right now. Shade Trail, I'll leave for Mr. Doherty, give you the good stuff. But I wanted to report, and I hope Ms. O'Dwyer is either online if she's caught up in her sleep, but the Green Team submitted their first submission. We currently have bronze medal status. The Green Team is really trying to upgrade to silver status this year, so I know on good authority from Ms. Colasurdo, who's currently driving down to Charleston, so she's not on the call, that she and Ellen O'Dwyer, who's our captain, were up till about 4 a.m. on Saturday night, and again, completing additional work on Sunday. We submitted 25 action items and 350 points. Ms. Trank, Dr. Trank is here. She's on the Green Team as well. Everybody has been really great. Borough employees, Mr. Phillips, Rob, everybody has been great in helping to secure the documentation for that. So thank you to everyone on the Green Team for that. There will be more news in the months ahead, but the next steps are going to be that the Sustainable New Jersey is going to review these things, and we are going to have to, you know, submit additional evidence. There's probably some things that we won't get credit for, but the borough really has done a lot of work in the last few years even if we don't hit silver this year, we're well on our way to getting there. And then just lastly, thank you everybody for approving the resolution for Pride Month. I know I talked to Ms. Northrup about the day that we're going to have on June 1st, so next Wednesday at 3:45, Mr. Phillips was able to secure the rest of the flags. We're actually going to have a flag raising on the town flagpole of the Pride flag, and the Henry Hudson Gay Straight Alliance is going to be here, and they're getting bused here, so the school's really bought into this. I hope as many residents as are possible will come. We're going to talk it up, so we'll have chalk. I know some people are jealous of the Highlands crosswalk, but we have done a lot of research, and it's really, although Ms. Boylan reminds me that Pride is a protest, we can't officially protest and be insured for it. So we're going to do some inclusive messaging with talk on the sidewalks in front of Borough Hall, and it's going to be a really positive, inclusive day, and we're going to involve elementary school too, so we're excited. Please come. That's it. Thanks.
Thanks. Let's see.
Thank you. Fire and EMS, nothing new to report at this time, other than the EMS task force was scheduled to meet this past Wednesday, but we have rescheduled to the end of June for that, so several of us could attend the regionalization workshop last night up at Hudson. Planning board has also not met since our last meeting. The board will meet next Thursday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. in this room. Environmental Commission met this past Tuesday. Key topics of discussion were planning for the upcoming Film One Fest, where the EC plans to present the table. The group is also working on a schedule to schedule a seining event for the summer, potentially to coincide with Film One Fest. The 2021 Environmental Commission report to Mayor and Council has been submitted and should be made available on the website soon. And the group is preparing to exhibit at the farmers markets this summer and fall. On behalf of Chairman Deacon, we would like to thank Councilwoman Hohenleitner for continuing to host the Zooms and allow group access to Borough Hall. Shade Tree Commission has not met since our last meeting, but I'd like to report that we are looking to acquire two memorial trees. I reported last meeting that we've been having some issues with vendors for the annual spring planting, but we are looking to get two trees in honor of Mr. Zampetovich and Mr. Sweeney to get those in the ground as soon as possible. And you know, even if we aren't able to get a landscaping company or anyone to install them for us, we're going to bring shovels, or we're going to do it ourselves. So more on that soon. Parking committee, as we met on Thursday, May 19th, the group held a discussion of the angled parking proposal on Hennessy Boulevard.
Now, the Minute Mine Creek remediation is complete or nearly complete. There was some discussion that even if angled parking is not pursued there, there is now ample room for a true sidewalk. Something sorely lacking in that area, and perhaps in addition to some benches along that area, the group is going to plan a field trip, and we're going to take a walk down there and take a look and see what we might recommend. There was also discussion on updating the fee schedule to increase the $25 per year parking permit fee. It works out to a little less than 7 cents a day. It's quite a bargain, so we should consider raising that. So Mr. Fisher, Mr. Farragina, Councilman Crowley, and I will have some discussions on that and bring some thoughts back to council. I said this last time, but forgive me for repeating myself. The group continues to encourage council to authorize a parking and traffic study. To that end, the committee hopes to be provided guidance on what specific metric we will use to consider Atlantic Island's, quote, back to normal. And lastly, Mayor, if you'll indulge me just for a second, it's not officially part of my report, but I'm going to do my best to get through this. I would like to take a moment to thank our police department for their efforts around the elementary school this week following the school shooting in Texas. While it's an incredibly sad state of affairs that this is necessary, it was comforting for me as a parent to see several of our officers there for drop-off and pick-up. I'm used to seeing Captain Murtha at the Washington Avenue exit as we wait for our kindergartners to come out. On Wednesday, he was there in full uniform at the top of the steps, smiling as they appeared. I cannot begin to fathom the anguish those families in Uvalde and Buffalo and far too many communities in our country are feeling. At some point, we as a nation need to decide to act. We are the only country in the world where these mass shootings happen regularly. Thoughts and prayers are cutting it. Thank you. That ends my report.
Councilman Crowley.
Thank you. Mayor, nothing really to add for recreation, but I will say under the category of fun, I'll let Councilmans Murphy and Bombs probably make more comment about the upcoming Fireman's Fair, but I'm just raising it because I was in a conversation today with representatives for the fire department, and I know that our fair dates have moved to the 5th and the 9th, but I think fireworks on the 8th, and talking about some of the things that I try to help out on that time of the year with finding ways of including more of our community with some fun things to do. And one of the things we discussed was a dunk tank and maybe putting some of our council members in the dunk tank. So if anyone, I think we could probably raise a lot of money for our fire department.
I'm busy selling raffle tickets.
I think okay. You're volunteering there.
Nothing really to report on technology and a little hard for me to hear, but I think Councilman Dougherty already mentioned parking. For school regionalization, I'd like to see if the council will entertain me for a moment with the notion of I would like to make a motion that the town hall for the regionalization be postponed until a date when we can properly invite not only the Portizio law firm, but also all of our experts from the tri-districts report that was just submitted to the public and presented to the public yesterday, because I know that nobody from council was properly notified before the date was posted publicly to see what our availability was, and nobody from the regionalization committee was properly notified or invited before that date was posted, and I find that that's highly unusual. And nobody from the BOE or the superintendent or any of the experts from the tri-district report were notified until last Friday after the date was posted publicly. And I think that in the interest of full transparency and to present a complete and full discussion of the facts, and this new clean report from the tri-district is much more current. And they actually do have several proposals for a way forward that both sides of the issue should be presented to the public. I think that's only fair. So if possible, I'd like to make a motion that we postpone that date until Portizio, as well as the team report experts, can be properly notified and then can commit to a date where everybody can be present under one roof and present the complete issue.
Well, what happened is the committee went without our knowledge and posted on Facebook. Facebook is not our website, nor is it a part of the town. So it was posted properly on our website and on our Facebook page.
But Mayor, you understand that the committee, the regionalization committee in January decided as a group that the Porzio plan did not make sense for Atlantic Island.
That's your opinion. That was your opinion.
No, Mayor, no. That was the committee. The committee decided as a group in January that it didn't make sense, and then in February we said,
That's not true.
From the Tri-District came forward. So what I'm saying, though, is that this, the town hall is now, in fact, publicized on AHNJ.com. So that is part of our borough's website. That's our mechanism to communicate with our public. And so neither the council nor the regionalization committee was notified before the date was set. But more importantly, or as importantly, nobody from the BOE, the superintendent of the Tri-District, and none of their experts were invited until Friday, last Friday, well after the date was publicized.
With a motion on the table, I'm going to second it just for, so that we can have a proper discussion, because I think that's part, you know, the way to, to go here. Can I just ask a couple questions?
Sure.
I attended the first part of the meeting last night, which I was so grateful that we had. It was a very, I think all of us were there that are here.
Yeah.
It was a super positive discussion. I didn't have the opportunity to stay for the whole time, but I did listen to the rest of the part that I missed in person. And I just, from my perspective, and I saw you right before it, you know, we talked about it. I do think that what, I would love for there to be some kind of way to merge the Porzio findings with the BOE findings and not have separate, like have these separate, it looks like it's opposing, and I don't think it's necessarily.
I don't think it is.
Well, but I think I think that if we, I'm just trying to look at big picture here, because and for God's sake, you know, children were killed last week. Like, let's stop fighting and let's just be kind and let's listen to each other right now. Instead, because I don't think nobody's against regionalization. Nobody on this dais, as far as I know, we just want to do what's right for the kids and what's right for the borough. What was really important that came out to me, this is my takeaway from the report that I read yesterday, that was for us, for the borough of Atlantic Highlands, the most important, the report suggests, and this is nowhere in the Porzio report, so I think it needs to be represented at a town hall, that for this to be right for Atlantic Highlands, that there needs to be a cost-sharing agreement between us and Highlands and potentially us and Seabright, because this borough, when you look at the numbers, is not benefiting in the same way. And I will say also that I really appreciated Mrs. White's comment at the meeting last night, where she talked about reinvesting some of that cost savings into the district, the new district. So I would implore us to think what makes the most sense is for Atlantic Highlands residents to hear all of it at once, instead of having a bunch of different meetings that seem to be oppositional. So I have a different perspective than Mr. Crowley on this, but my perspective is, why wouldn't we want to have the most comprehensive meeting possible? And forgetting I think we all agree that we should have probably checked to see if everybody was available before we set a meeting. I mean, like, we've agreed on that privately, mm-hmm. So let's agree on it publicly. But to me, the Porzio report is sort of moot unless we put it together with.
You're absolutely right.
So,
absolutely.
So would you agree?
But didn't you say Porzio is going to? Isn't Porzio going to be at this?
Just
Porzio. Only Porzio.
And Jacoby, Matt Jacoby. You have to remember that. In the beginning, we didn't go with Porzio with Matt Jacoby. So he is our legal.
So I would. I would love to have Matt be able to digest the report that just came out this week, the 104 pages that I read quickly, and I read from the bottom up, and Brian was reading from the top down, so that we could get to the middle, which page 59 to 64, but for everybody,
it's 57
really good.
57 is going with the funding.
I'm not saying we have to postpone the meeting, but if we could have representatives from that report mm-hmm. present, I think it would be a much more productive meeting for the residents of Atlantic Highlands. I care very much about us diversifying our district and bringing in Seabright, and we're married to Highlands. We love Highlands. There's this crazy misperception that there's resistance against Highlands, and we love that our kids are going to school in Highlands with our Highlands kids.
Bottom line, what we need is a resolution. Is everyone, was at the meeting last night, I was helping the PBA, that we have to, more than anything, we need to get a resolution on.
But
we're going to be doing that on the 9th. Now, if you want to postpone that meeting, what we need a resolution. What we're going to be doing is like we did last year, in the end of August, September, is having the mayors, the board, the DAs, and the heads of all of the school coming together and talking, because clearly we're all wanting to go in the same way.
That's really so, that's great, right. But also I think the finance committee needs to have a meeting.
Well, you, like was always said to me, we can't do anything with negotiations. It's a negotiation that you have to have a resolution before you can go into negotiations. So we've been stalling trying to, before we have the resolution out there. So, you know, with the fact finding that
we can't move, the Atlanta Commons Council would be stupid to move forward with something that didn't identify what the cost sharing was going to be.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody up here is interested
The resolution is to take it to the state. We have to make sure that the state okays this before anything.
Respectfully, take what to the state?
If it's a good idea.
My understanding, speaking with them yesterday and speaking with Porzio in the past, is we have to move the resolution to find out if the Commissioner of Education would even approve the likelihood of us moving forward. Then we can work through a cost-sharing plan, which, by the way, had been discussed in the past, because Councilman Baracchia, as the finance chair, has actually had those discussions about how we can make
in
those.
In a silo without anyone else present.
Well, no, there were other people present.
Finance committee from Atlanta.
Well, you weren't on council.
You weren't, I don't think you were on the committee when that first started.
I'm not saying you're hiding it from us. I'm just saying
When that first started. I let you speak. Please let me speak.
Yep.
But at that point, he had other people on that committee who had discussed those possibilities from Highlands and Seabright and so forth. So that was one thing that has been discussed in the past. For those who get this misconception, it hasn't been discussed that question. It's been out there.
But to be fair as well, I mean, one of the things that came up last night, and you know, bravo to the boards of ed and to the work that they've put into this, there are multiple scenarios here. There are multiple scenarios. This, you know, the King University folks will say we could do 1 through 4, and they also specified, you know, I see Mr. Bieber here, but they specified the importance of resolving the Ocean Port Shore Regional issue, that is a potential hurdle and a potential legal
pending litigation
is a potential handicap for us.
Well, we say pending. I think it's possible again. Possible. Because pending implies that it's already started.
So I meant to say possible. If I said pending, then I apologize.
So possible litigation is probably a better term.
But I think we need to be precise. I'll finish, Mr. Farragine, and then certainly. I think we need to be very clear. We keep saying we're going to have a resolution. What's the resolution going to say?
Well, so here's my question. Are we spinning our wheels? Let's say we jump through all these hoops and we postpone this as many times as we want, have all these people come through, we put it to the chair of education, and they say no.
But what are we asking her to say yes to?
Is she willing to have the power? Is she willing to entertain a possibility of us having a joint regionalization?
So if I can interject before the conversation continues, I just want to remind the governing body that we are at the reports of council portion of the agenda. We should probably conclude that. There's a motion on the table, so I wanted to get to that in a second as well. Relative to the motion on the table, I have a question for our legal counsel regarding that, and the question is, the meeting that was scheduled for June 6th was a meeting that was being conducted, to my knowledge, by a committee, not by the governing body. Now, the governing body, to my knowledge,
meeting, that was a special meeting, right?
Special meeting, right? But it's not a governing body.
That's not right. Because what I thought we decided was advertise it as a special meeting because there was going to be a quorum of the governing body present, even though we weren't taking formal action. It's still a meeting. It has to be advertised.
Right. So the question that I have is, does the governing body?
Okay.
Right. So, right, with that, does the governing body have the authority? I know you can make a motion and set and vote, but does it have the authority to actually cancel the committee or postpone the committee meeting in and of itself?
Is it the legal meeting?
So maybe I was confused about what the meeting was. I thought it was a special meeting of the mayor and the council, and the committee was going to be present and there were other people present. So it's a committee meeting. I mean, the committee can meet when it wants. But if, you know, I would just caution, with, you know, I know this is obviously a very important subject, and even though it's not a meeting where the council's going to take formal action, I would, it is a public meeting that has to be advertised, if there's going to be a quorum of the council present. I would even say, just to be safe, if you're sitting in the audience, because there's going to be public business discussed. So the answer to the question is, number one, if it's a committee meeting, the committee can meet whenever it likes, but, you know, if it's not a special meeting, if there's going to be a quorum of the governing body present, you should advertise the meeting.
So I believe the meeting is advertised?
It is not.
It is not yet. Okay, the meeting has not been advertised, that answers that question.
Well, yeah, we're asking, you still have time.
Right, there's still ample time to do that, right, in a legal fashion.
Right.
Is there?
Yes, the meeting's not till...
Well, that's six. Right, so we've got, what, 9, 10 days, we also have the opportunity to see if the other report preparers are willing to attend, or if there's a possibility to attend.
Correct, and if there, and I agree with council that, you know, if there's a quorum...
On the committee.
Right, but the point I'm getting at, though, Mayor, is that there's a difference between the governing body requesting the committee to alter and/or cancel the date, or change the date, or postpone it, rather than instructing and telling them to do it. That's the point I'm getting at, because it's a committee meeting. Yes, council agrees with that, with that notion. So what I would advise the governing body is that if you proceed with your motion and second, should that motion pass, that you express your direction to the committee as a request, rather than a definitive cancellation or postponement, because it's a committee meeting. That's all I'll interject about that.
Yeah, ask a question, Mr. Crowley. Mr. Crowley? So, John, would you, I know your motion was to postpone the meeting. Would you be satisfied if the experts from the King University study and representatives from the Board of Ed could attend June 6th? Would that satisfy your objection?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because my perspective, actually, Councilman Hollmeyer, is not different from yours in regard to wanting a full and complete presentation of me. That's really the desire here. So, you know, it's a short notice, but if all the representatives from the King Report could be there, I'd be satisfied with that.
Okay.
All I was going to say is that I think it's important that we have as much information there as possible. Although I also believe that it's important that we have this meeting sooner than later, just because I am hearing from residents that they're interested in having this town hall. Now, I know we have multiple town halls scheduled, so proceeding with this one and following up with additional information later on, I don't see a problem with that. But if the council's in favor of pushing off to get more information, how do we find out if the others can attend?
The others meaning who?
The Board of Education and...
I would have to get the chair. It goes through this committee. Well, just like if it was a parking or environmental, I have to talk to the chair of this committee.
Is the chair on the Zoom? Is this like Abby White, Tracy Abby White on the Zoom?
My question is, who's going to pay Keene to be here?
So my recommendation to the governing body is that if you wish the committee to go down that road and invite specific individuals to attend, you just express that formally to the committee chair that you've made a motion. If that motion happens to pass, whatever the verbiage is of that motion is, and request that you pass that on to the committee as a request. The committee may or may not agree, they may or may comply, but it's a committee meeting. There's a difference between deciding what the committee's doing rather than requesting something of the committee.
Well, in good faith, I differ a little bit here, because the committee is making a presentation to the mayor and council and the public, and so for this not to be a special meeting, we have people that come and present recycling to the mayor and council in right. public setting, and that is recommendations that affect future decisions. So I think that this needs to be a special meeting of mayor and council. If findings are being presented.
And if you're discussing public business with a quorum present.
Yeah.
So I think it does. I agree with that. It has to be advertised.
Is it a special meeting?
Absolutely.
And how many days, Michelle, do you need?
I concur 100%.
We have time to advertise it. I'm just saying that's just the...
I'm just saying because it's a holiday weekend, so now we've got a shortened time frame on notice.
Actually, the
the law requires that you transmit notice to the newspaper within a certain time period. So we have, right?
We're good?
So how much time do we have? We have time?
We're okay. I can do it tonight before I leave. We're good.
So where do we stand? With the motion,
we have a motion on the floor. Remove, yes, so restrict your...
Do we still need the motion?
Can we withdraw it?
Sounds like we've talked...
I think we need it now.
I think we should amend it and say that, the date should be, rescheduled to when Porzio Group and the King Group can be present, and that it be held, administered by the council.
In a large enough location that we can handle that many people?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I would suggest you don't need a motion to do that.
No.
Just do it.
Councilman Crowley, did you hear that from our legal counsel?
No, what did Jason say?
I would suggest to you that you don't need a formal motion of the governing body to do what you just described. That we can just figure.
I think we just need to withdraw the motion.
You need to withdraw the motion.
Okay, so I'll withdraw the motion with the understanding that we're. Council will be administering a town hall with Porzio and King Group people invited and committed.
So I'm just curious. I mean, what's the sense of having a committee if the council is going to have a meeting with all this? Isn't the committee the whole reason we're trying?
Because Councilor Baum's the committee's purpose, stated purpose, is to report a finding on the Porzio plan, and that was it. Now there's a King plan, so. That, you know, the committee can still report whatever it was that we said in January, or if it's changed or evolved about Porzio, they can make that report, but that's the stated purpose of the committee. And that was a report of their findings to the mayor and council.
It was my understanding that they were there to investigate the possibility for regionalization, not just a study of one report, but okay.
That's correct. So,
the regionalization, let's be clear, regionalization as proposed by the Porzio report.
That's not true.
I don't think that's true, Joe.
Well, that was the only report that was present.
Right.
The committee was formed.
Instead of arguing.
If you want to expand it, that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
Instead of arguing, can we just.
Then expand their purview.
I think, instead of arguing, can we just, when Congress comes together, what's it called when the Senate and the House, they have two different versions of a bill and it's
right,
conference. Like, yeah. So can we, I think what we're trying to do is
everyone's going the same direction.
I know, we're all going the same direction. So can we, I think, can we as a council, I mean, right, I think we vigorously agree. I say this occasionally because our voices are raised, I vigorously agree with Regina a lot. Like, we have voices raised, but I think we're all saying that we all want to hear the most information at one time, and we definitely respect the work of the committee and want them to present what their findings and recommendations are, because that's the committee that we put together to do that. So, so if we could do it on June 6th, and it could be a special meeting, and we could have everybody involved. If it can't be, and I don't think we need every single person from the Kane report. I think that representatives of the Kane, because they've done a full report, mm-hmm. and it's recorded, so it's not, but they weren't coming to present.
And it's Ryan Zykowski.
Can we just please march together on this with our board's events?
So we agree to move forward, provided we can request some additional attendance. Okay.
In other news,
did we finish up the reports?
In other news,
wait! John was not done yet.
Did John get?
Were you done?
Report yet?
Is that the end?
Yes.
Of
if we're agreeing that Mayor and Council is going to be holding a town hall, and that the Porzio Group will be there, and that I don't know what the exact wording is, but the majority of the key report, or the key elements of the key report being also represented at the same time in a large enough facility that can accommodate the council, the experts, and the public.
Okay. Yes.
Who's going to run the meeting? I mean, you're going to have a large crowd. There's not enough.
She knows how to run a meeting.
No, I was just curious, I mean, like...
Yeah, we weren't quite sure, because Rob and I were going back and forth, because it is a committee meeting, but then, who sits on the dais? But it's not, who sits on the dais?
So the original layout of the meeting was, the committee had requested to have Porzio attend and present their findings, and to allow a Q&A from the public regarding those findings to the Porzio people. If the governing body here would like to change that and be engaged in that Q&A, then that's a different format. Also, if you would like the keen information and or people there, you have to request it. Can't demand it. Where our assumption here is that it's going to be communicated as a request to them. Hopefully they respond.
No, that's incorrect.
I think the format exists, Rob, if I may interject, I think the format exists. We do workshops all the time. I think council can be a fourth mayor, and the experts can be seated at the two tables, or they can come forward as needed. And it's not dissimilar from the way the planning board operates too, but I think if we hold the format as if it's a workshop that allow public comment, I think that's the precedent is there, and we can follow that format.
You're 100% correct. I'm just saying the original format presented by the committee for the request of the meeting was to have Porzio there to present their findings and to allow the public to engage in a Q&A with the Porzio folks. If it's altered to the way you just laid out, that's fine with me. I'm a neutral party here. But I'm just saying, we have to clarify of what was originally requested rather than what is being asked for now.
I think the will of council is pretty clear that we're moving beyond that, so we'll have the Porzio folks there, and then we'll also have the Keene folks there, who the key players anyway, because there's so many of them. And there's two tables up there, and we can just go back and forth, and we can divide up per category, whether it's facilities, transportation, funding formula. You know, we can decide that later how we want to divide each category for each of the two groups to be able to present their findings.
I have a question. Who's paying the Keene group? Because my understanding is that the LEAP grant that was done for the school board, not for us, and I don't think they're going to come without getting paid. I
mean, Brian,
yeah, well, it's, you know, our grant has already been paid for. Porzio's already been paid for, but, you know, who's going to be putting the bill for Keene?
Do we even know what the dollar amount would be?
I don't know, but I'm sure, you know, that group, that report was done for the Board of Ed. It was not done for Atlantic Highlands Council. It was not done for Atlantic Highlands Education Committee. So I'm assuming there's some kind of dollar amount to be paid.
We'll find out.
You can extend the invitation and, you know, look, we want the best information.
I guess
I got to ask you point blank. Do you not want them to?
No, I'm just.
No, he just.
I'm exploring all possibilities. Everybody's sitting here focusing on one thing, but nobody's thinking about the fact that one's paid, the other one's reported as done for somebody else.
I'm not fighting with you. I'm asking the question. So, let can we try to? I mean, I feel like a Pollyanna here. Can we try to find a way to make this work?
And it's fine. Who's going to coordinate?
I'll do it. I'll fucking do it.
No, it's okay.
Let's curb the language. Let's
I'm not a child. I'm really just at this point with everything going on in the country right now. Can we stop fighting and just do what's right for the kids?
Right.
Stop. I don't need to be scolded about...
Nobody's scolding you, but if you're asking us to stop fighting, then stop raising your voice at other council
members. I'm not raising my voice.
You are, though.
Okay.
What do you mean you're
not... John, are you done with your report?
Mr. Ferragina?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Ferragina, can you just extend an invitation again?
I already said that.
To the proper parties.
Right.
And let's see if there is an expense. We don't know if they're... look, our live stream contract... We have several different training sessions that are part of the deal. We don't know if the Board of Education structured a deal with the Keene folks, and they may have that built into their contract. So rather than run off thinking that there's going to be a huge expense in getting these people here, then they can, you know, let's just assume that maybe we can work something out.
I'll work on that tomorrow. I'll work on that tomorrow, Councilman.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, it sounds like he's done.
Mayor? Yes,
okay.
I'm all done.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Bob, go.
Reminder, the PBA Bowl is tomorrow from 7 to 12 at the Shore Casino. Tomorrow, right? Yeah. The Atlantic Highlands Police Department is currently accepting resumes for Class 2 special officers. May 30th is the deadline for applicants. If you saw a helicopter flying over Atlantic Island yesterday, that a New Jersey State Police Aviation Unit paid a visit to the 5th and 6th grade students at the elementary school, the first aid, as well as the fire department were on scene showing off their apparatuses and answering questions for the lead group, thanks to Detective Morgan for being there and organizing the event. With warmer weather coming, we'd like to remind all residents that we're going to see an influx of boat traffic coming to the ramps and coming down to use their boats. When you're driving through town, don't forget that some of those vehicles coming down the road may have trailers behind them. They may be a little bit wider than the areas. So just keep an extra, pay a little extra attention to them coming down the road because they may not be paying attention to you. With that said, OEM, Ms. Weimer has been keeping all of the various departments updated on all the storms which we've had. We've had numerous tornado warnings and severe hail warnings and so forth. She's done a great job as she continues to fulfill her training obligations, and we thank her for that. And that's all I have, because I believe everybody else has covered everything else.
Great, thank you.
Councilman Crowley said the fireman's fair. He already gave those dates, and Brian gave the
Are you wearing your kilt tomorrow?
I'm wearing my what?
Your kilt.
No. No kilt tomorrow. It's too warm.
Mr. Ferragino.
Okay, thank you. I do have several items here this evening. The first one, as a mark of respect for the victims of the senseless acts of violence perpetuated on May 24 by gunmen at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas, the president has ordered American flags to be flown at half-staff effective May 24 and returning to full-staff on sunset on May 28, 2022. Next item. Governor Murphy announces free entry to state parks beginning Memorial Day weekend. As of Memorial Day weekend, entry to all New Jersey state parks, forests, and recreation areas will be free of charge this summer. Presented in the fiscal year 2023 budget proposal, the one-year state parks fee holiday is one of several fee waivers and programs designed to advance affordability and opportunity in New Jersey. Park entrance fees will be waived for all visitors, regardless of state residency. Anyone who already purchased a 2022 annual state park pass will automatically receive a full refund. Other individual park fees remain in place, including but not limited to camping, interpretive programs, and mobile sport fishing permits. Next item. On Monday, May 23rd, Chief Reiner and I attended the School Violence Prevention and Law Enforcement Hiring Grants webinar hosted by Congressional Representatives Frank Pallone Jr. and Andy Kim. As a result, the Atlantic Islands Police Department will be looking into and possibly applying for grant funding. Next item. On May 16th, the borough received notification from the Board of County Commissioners permitting the closure of County Route 8, 1st Avenue, between East Highland and East Mount Avenues from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, July 16, for the annual Arts and Crafts Festival. Rain date will be Sunday, July 17. Next item. Tomorrow, May 27th, the Atlantic Islands Police Department will be raising the American flags on the existing flagpoles located on the Memorial Parkway median. Next item. On May 19th, our DPW director and I attended a Microsoft Teams meeting with the Department of Transportation. On the virtual meeting was also a representative from Congressman Pallone's office. We explained our concern regarding the overgrown center median on Memorial Parkway. As a result, the DOT did cut the center median grass on May 25th, yesterday. In addition, we reiterated our need for the DOT to authorize and approve the partial closure of Memorial Parkway to allow a private contractor at the borough's expense and investment to install six flagpoles where the six are missing. Ms. Vanessa Holman, the DOT Deputy Chief of Staff, did not grant the borough this request at this time, stating that the DOT hasn't been able to locate any records determining ownership of the existing poles or an original document confirming that the DOT ever allowed the poles to be installed. After a spirited discussion on the matter, Ms. Holman requested additional information from the borough and stated that if the DOT grants approval, it will take a minimum of 12 months. If anyone would like to reach out to Ms. Holman directly, I have her email address and her phone number. Feel free to contact me tomorrow, and I will happily share it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Next item. The borough received notification on Tuesday, May 24, that the application process is now open for the 2023 Transportation Alternative Set Aside Program. The borough will be looking into applying for funds specifically for streetscaping, corridor landscaping, and stormwater management. Next item. Earl Naval Base has invited the governing body to attend the 80th anniversary of the Battle of Midway commemoration and Battle of Midway Park rededication ceremony on Monday, June 6th at 10 a.m. The event will begin with a brief ribbon-cutting ceremony rededicating the installation's Battle of Midway Park, which has been newly renovated by the Naval Weapons Station Earl C. Cadets. Atlantic Highlands Mayor Loretta Gluckstein, myself, Councilman Brian Baums, Councilman James Murphy, and Councilwoman Lori Hohenleitner will all be in attendance. Next item. Reminder that the annual Memorial Day Parade is Monday, the 30th at 11 a.m. I believe setup time is 10:30, if I'm not mistaken, at the harbor. Last item. DPW's new sanitation truck, as was mentioned, is out front of Borough Hall.
Beautiful.
A great investment, well needed. And we also have a new police car, which is in the borough municipal parking lot, which is really nice. And they got it cleaned today just for tonight, in case if anybody wants to take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank them for doing that. And I want to reiterate, last but not least, I want to reiterate what Councilman Baum said. Our OEM director, Sarah Weimer, has done an exceptional job. She is extremely engaged in what she's doing. She sends regular emails out and is really a model for what an OEM really should do. And I can't thank her enough. I know she's not here, but for the record, I wanted to make that point. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks. Doug?
Hope?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Very briefly, Many Mine Avenue Park remains on schedule to the contractor will receive all the equipment for the playground at the end of June, so we're still on track for moving that park forward. South Avenue Park, my office is putting together our scope of services for your consideration. I anticipate having that ready for the next meeting. The next steps are continue to advance the concept plan, survey and base map, and review any permitting that's necessary. Permitting meeting at this time, only soil erosion, county soil erosion, and no DEP jurisdiction. We introduced the bond ordinance for the road program tonight. So between now and the next meeting, the final reading, if approved, we'll be in a position to present our scope of services as well to advance the design of that project. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mr. Senna.
No report tonight, Mayor.
Okay. I just have one thing that I was told to read into the meeting minutes. I want to let you all know how appreciative and impressed Patty Lacoccio. Am I saying it right? Thank you. And I were with Jim Phillips' quick response to our clogged drain issue last Friday evening. I texted Jim after the second torrential rainstorm last Friday evening at 6:44, letting him know that all of our drains were severely clogged and that I was unable to clear the nearest one to my house. He immediately responded that he would get someone out there, and at 8:20, he sent a picture of the clear drains. We were so relieved and so impressed. This is exactly the kind of response that makes us happy to be in a town where the employees really seem to look out for the residents. I have thanked Jim personally, but felt his actions should be commended and that you would like to know. Thank you. Susie Blaisdell.
I was in Harrisburg when that came in. Roger's on standby from here, so I can't just take the credit.
Okay.
The phone call. Roger's street department superintendent, Roger Crest, and he got some guys in. There was a lot of damage. You know, Doug and I spoke to a couple meetings here about these type of heavy rain.
Mm-hmm.
We're still cleaning up from that. You know, there's so much damage that comes down. You've probably seen some videos of some of the runoff of some of the streets.
Right.
It's unbelievable. And we have so much scheduled work in behind it, and these kind of storms come in. it's very, very difficult, you know, so I definitely appreciate it, but I just definitely want to share this with the members.
Well, we all up here at the dais know how hardworking your whole crew is, and we just thank you publicly. Thanks. Yep. So, since this is done, public comment, please, please come to the forward, state your name and address. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Hi, Caroline Rinder of San Ocean Boulevard. I had a couple questions. I know you guys mentioned getting the resolution going. The new report, and I went to the meeting last night as well, I believe it's pages 81, 82, 83, 84, detail possible perspective conflicts between the two studies and discuss the importance of maybe coming together to suggest what will be regionalizing.
Mm-hmm.
And Councilman Dougherty, you brought this up. So if you guys are working on a resolution, are you going to be consulting with the BOE so that your resolution is aligned with the different scenarios? Is it going to be so broad that the report also mentions, I think on page 84, that the commissioner, if he's getting different proposals across his desk, is probably going to be like, no, you guys have to work this out. We don't want him to say no. We
correct.
Don't.
Right.
So what's your plan to bring, and maybe you guys can see this tonight, to bring all of it together so that we don't get a no? Because this study says this and this study says that.
Right. Well, Highlands and Seabright has already done their resolution, and if I'm wrong, but this is what I was told, is the resolution goes to the state, and they take a look at all the information, and basically will tell us, this is doable, this is not, you know, go and fix this. But we just have to put it towards the state. Now, my plan is to have the mayors of the three towns, the BAs, and the board presidents, Dr. Beams, and Janet Sherlock, sit together again. And now that the their study is done, and basically hash it out and see what their perspective is and come to an agreement, because clearly after last night we're all moving in the same direction. We really are. Does that answer your question?
So that's for the resolution of the
yes.
Dr.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And my other.
And you have to know that here in Atlantic Highlands we've been waiting for the study.
Yes.
So we've been putting this off. So we do want to hear what it has to say. So.
And my other comment was, as to the town halls, I've been listening and attending these meetings for the last couple of years where we've been discussing the town hall, and it's been repeated over and over. It will include, you know, the study you guys did, it will include the BOEs. So I just think hearing all this tonight sounded kind of disorganized, because my ears for the last 2 years heard that the BOEs would be involved, and of course, as a teacher, we're going to have NJEA there as well. So I think it's really important to not just streamline or skew towards the study you guys did, but to align with what has been told to us in the audience this whole time, which is that it's going to be something that everybody is present at, that we can all sit and listen to and then ask questions, not just for you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Weinstorf.
Gosh, not blind, sir, 60 days I drive. It's not too late to do something for Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. You could pass a I was here the end of March, right? And then I was here last time. We're in a different world. You know, this is a complicated problem, and it's going to take all hands on deck to solve it. I'm not a big fan of Bill Clinton's, but he did say the sign of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and expect it differently. So I think If you could, I called the head boats, got no response. Mr. Baraccia said that the head boats have had a tough year, so they cut the fee or the increase to help them out. We depend on tourism. Generating a new source of tourists is logical. It's private enterprise. I think we should, it's not too late, as I said, to organize the town for a Juneteenth celebration, and all the restaurants to offer, I think, is red soda, and get the head boats to say, either cut their fee 10% in honor of Juneteenth, to get a nuclear crowd to come to Atlantic Highlands, to be welcoming. This is the third consecutive year that the police have been called because a bunch of African Americans came to the beach. Mm. Point Pleasant 2 years ago, Long Branch last year, and on the hot Saturday last week. It wouldn't be a stretch to say that people might not feel welcome. And I think Atlantic Highlands should be welcoming. It's good for business, and it's good for solving the problems that we all recognize.
So, Ansor, you and I have had multiple conversations about Juneteenth. I just want to remind you that I've told you at the last meeting that there's going to be an event at the library on the morning of the 18th, but that organizers in town felt that deciding for folks who may be celebrating in celebrations that were organized by people of color who chose what they wanted to do for Juneteenth might be a little less white savior complex than just deciding that we think that a fish fry is a good idea because some of my black friends like fried fish. So there's been a very thoughtful process as to what is happening in town on that day, and there's been encouragement for people to attend events organized in Freehold and in Red Bank over that weekend that are organized by people of color.
But let me just say, this is not people of color event. It's a federal holiday.
Agree.
It's but also a white people event.
It is also a white people event, but I think let's try to be thoughtful about when we're suggesting how we should celebrate some of these events.
Well, I think that's what
Atlantic Highlands has decided to do. So there's going to be a children's event across the hall at the library.
But I mean, I was thinking if you want to turn it around the way you said it, okay, so next year we'll have the Fireman's Fair and fireworks on Juneteenth, and we'll have a ceremony Saturday morning for the 4th of July.
I think that we're saying
that is an extreme thing. This is a national holiday for everyone.
Agree, and we need to be mindful that we do it the right way.
Great. How we could celebrate it and be good for business and put Atlantic Highlands on the map and get people.
Come to the library.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Dana Keelan, 15, East Lincoln Avenue. Just a really quick thing, Mr. Senate, did you do a ribbon cutting for like the meat house?
I did.
You did? I didn't recognize you because you were smiling.
Ah. You were there?
You were there.
People that are.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see you.
I did.
Stop.
Oh.
I'll smile and cut either way.
Yeah.
You had a navy blue jacket.
I did.
Yeah.
Exact one.
Shrewsbury likes businesses and me.
That's what I said. My two favorite things.
And
Shrewsbury and me.
I agree with Councilwoman Holman on your story, G19. It's almost like what you were doing with the LGBT Pride Month, is that you've been adding things every year. So maybe next year we can add another event and be mindful of everybody involved and maybe reach out to different people in the community, even for that matter, even the history teachers mm-hmm. at schools, they might be able to do something. So I always say baby steps and keep on moving forward. You get a little bit each year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's awesome that we are having something in the library here.
Mm-hmm.
Shade Tree Commission. Is there any way or any formal what I like to do, if somebody passes away and they have a little flowers, do this or this, I usually do something within the town, either it's the Historical Society, mm-hmm. the Shade Tree Commission, or something that things to donate it. Is there any way that we can find out how we can do that? And you also have a card that you send to like other like you send a thing for
so you can
you send a card
give
to
money
to the loved ones who passed away or something. Do you guys do that?
So it's State Street budget. So if this is, we could talk to the borough administrator about creating a mechanism for it. There's some complications in the budget where funds received in 1 year can't need to be spent in the next year. So it's more a matter of like having a, probably it would be a matter of either setting up a separate fund or we can talk about that because people have asked before.
Same with like recreation.
But yes, the library, the society. I've done it to the Arts Council and I have done it from the Shade Tree, but that was Marilyn and she just sent, I said, you don't have to send it, but she did. And I just think it's nice that, hey, there was a donation made in your name.
Sure.
I just, Richard Stockton just passed away.
And
I'm trying to figure out, I'm going to do the same thing, even if it's a donation to the fire department. I just think, hey, why don't we keep it here?
Sometimes what communities do is you set up a 501c3 and the money goes there and people can take a tax deduction and then they buy materials or whatever for the shade tree.
I want to say, and I'm sure it's going back to Jimmy and whatever, the Veterans Park looks awesome. That's what they just did in the last couple of days and the flags went up on First Avenue as well. Thank you for whoever did that. It's good, and I wish Mr. Garagini would call me and let me know about that lady. I went to Carol today.
Thank you.
We'll get you her number.
It was like, all right. That's ridiculous, and that's why there's problems with the state and federal government. I didn't know that the PBA will host tomorrow. Thank you for letting me know. I mean, I got the tickets.
I thought you were kidding me.
I know. I did.
Tomorrow. I got did the ads, do whatever, but I just didn't know. Were you talking about going on to the next day? The wall on Upper Prospect going up there? Going, I'm sorry, Mr. Garvey.
It was in my. The wall on Upper Prospect, we had received communications from residents that parts of the wall were flaking off. So myself, Jimmy Phillips from DPW, Marty Hawley, our engineer, who also brought, I believe, a structural engineer from his firm as well, and a representative from the police department, Roger Kreck was there as well. So we had all the entities that involved that area, right? Trees, safety, water and sewer, everything. Long story short, the wall is not flaking. It's literally coming apart. There's a section where if you put enough pressure, there's going to be an issue.
No, I understand. Like, I just wanted to make sure it was that thing you're talking about and not the
one I also remember.
Yes, it's the Upper Prospect.
Said, yeah. I don't know if anybody else remembers this. Adam was working on that, and at one point he had stated that there was money in the budget. I think it was $40,000, and it could be more now. It was like 2 years ago, but there was money in the budget allocated for that project.
I'll reach out to him tomorrow.
It could be nice, but because I got with the two walls, both there and the one on the school right. That's what I was asking.
I'll make a note.
Really bad.
Yeah, I'll make a note and reach out to him tomorrow to investigate that. I didn't see anything in the budget, nor did the CPA, but we'll take a closer look and look at that. Aesthetically, you're right. It doesn't look good. But structurally, it is our concern. There's the structural integrity of the building, of the wall, rather. So we're going to be addressing that.
And then one more question. Last night at the meeting, I was there as well. I thought it was awesome. And even I don't even know why you couldn't ask Henry Hudson if he told them anything like they did up there. I mean, how they sectioned, I don't care, but how they sectioned it off, and then they had the Board of Education. It just worked very well. It was a big area. So everybody in here might want to look into. I just had one question. It was running long. When you put this question on the ballot, no matter what this question is going to be, does it have to be the same question that the other two towns?
Yes.
It has to. That's just law.
Well, yeah, because it has to be the same question because that's the proposal that the Commissioner of Education will consider whether it's even allowed to be on the ballot. They can't vote on one proposal and we vote on a different one.
So the proposal, the thing that you guys send is resolution, that's what it's called. to the Commissioner of Education. That has to be the same with every...
That's just the resolution. Yeah, the resolution. That's not the referendum.
It doesn't have to be the same, but the, whatever the ballot question is would have to be the same.
Whatever the ballot question is, yes. But what if you decide to go with another one of their scenarios that they had last night?
We would have to come to an agreement. The three towns have to come to an agreement for our referendum. All we have to do is hand the paperwork.
Mayor, I think the problem is there's been so much.
I know.
Ms. Killen, to your point, I believe you asked a question at the end of yesterday. The question you had after that was, how many towns are doing this right now? And I believe he said there's 560 some odd municipalities, 300 and some that are not regionalized, and right now 70 are looking at this. So that's one of the urgencies, is getting the resolution there, because we could be one of 70 that you've got to look at. Mm-hmm. We only have a deadline.
I just didn't know.
Of August 14th.
The same. The resolution doesn't include it.
Resolution, no. Referendum, yes.
Yes or no. And then the last one going on the ballot has
correct.
To be the same.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Good evening. Erwin Bieber, 12 Trayvon's Nice in Brooklyn, Jersey. In response to that question, we have already passed a resolution.
Right. That's correct.
And that resolution simply asks for the three towns coming into regionalization.
Right.
It does not go into any of this.
Correct. And you don't need that. Correct.
Apportionment or sharing or anything like that. It's simply the concept of bringing the three towns together.
Thank you. Thank you.
So another point. I saw Congressman Daugherty look at me about the legal.
I got promoted. Fantastic.
Get out of here.
Senator. Senator Daugherty.
Congressman Daugherty was looking at the legal thing. So on the legal issue, just a couple points I would make. First of all, I think everybody knows that the legislation was written in a way that specifically precluded litigation in a case like this. I thought the BOA did an excellent job last night in explaining that it was written in such a way to try to do that. And Mark Magyar backed that up in the comments for those of you who are in the room as well. The second thing is, you know, the BOA's comments yesterday were very interesting. They were, while it's not impossible, it is probably unlikely the litigation would be successful by short regional election board. That's the assessment that Forgio has come to as well. And it's not impossible, but it's unlikely. And one of the reasons for that is Seabright has tried multiple times to engage with Ocean Port and Shore Regional to discuss this and in the past. And in every instance, they refused it. They basically said, we don't want to talk about this. So while it's been tried many times, the fact that the state legislation has changed and opened the path to this in a way that is not expected to lead to litigation, I think is very helpful for us overall. The third thing I would say, and I think you may know this already, is Seabright has written a letter of indemnification to Atlantic Highlands and Highlands that in the event that there is any legal action taken, Seabright will bear the cost of that. Okay, it would probably be the same litigation for all three towns if that was to happen. It would probably be taken against Seabright, but the town has put in writing at the beginning of this process that we would cover any litigation costs in that
area. I believe that was last year, right, Councilor?
Yeah. I think that was about last year. I mentioned this already. There's a lot of confusion about the resolution versus referendum. And clearly the resolution is just asking the education commissioner, would you entertain the three towns coming together? If you don't ask that question, you never move any further forward. And all of the negotiation discussion about what is the fair allocation on savings, what's the approach to doing this, can only happen once that resolution is reviewed.
That's exactly what it is.
So I think we have to be very careful. We don't run out the clock on the resolution time frame, because if we run that clock out, we won't even be given the opportunity.
Were you at the meeting last night when they said that there were opportunities beyond November to put it onto the special meeting?
Yes.
Because I think I just think that needs to be clear.
Yeah, I was there for the whole thing, and I read the whole report the morning that it came out. And yes, there are other dates that it can happen, and then even later time.
And in your town, does the mayor set the agenda for the meetings?
The mayor and the council president.
The mayor and the council president. So our mayor and council president have not put a resolution on our agenda. we all fully intend on voting for a resolution when it's here.
It's on the, yes.
It's going to be on our June 9th, so I know I'm going to vote yes for that.
We could have had it on tonight, but Councilman Crowley is not here. Councilman Baraki is not here. I'd rather have everyone here on the dais to be able to pass this.
So nobody's in disagreement about that.
Okay.
I just think that there's misperceptions and a lot of social media on a lot of different places that are putting blame where it doesn't exist.
Well, I was in this room when Councilman Crowley said, I'm not necessarily in favor of the resolution.
I think we want to know.
You're absolutely correct. What I was saying was just the part of the deal.
Okay, everyone up here. Everyone up here. Up to the dais. Okay, thank you. Okay. Regina.
Everybody.
Got it. Okay. It's.
Okay, the last question is, so I heard the discussion about trying to move the town hall, which was going to be run by the committee. So last night for the BOE presentation, which by the way I think was incredibly professional, very well done, very concise and thorough, and in the end basically reached the same conclusion that the Porzio study reached, which was, it is good for all three towns to do it as quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what was said in that event last night.
Reader's Digest.
And there are nuances, right? They have to get worked out. We want to make sure that this is equitable for all three towns. We want to make sure the most important priority is the students, because that's what we all care about. And we want to make sure that all the towns benefit from savings that can be derived from this. But the thing I don't understand is, if the BOE was given the opportunity last night to have the floor themselves, a presentation for 2 hours, what is the concern about having Porzio do a presentation?
I can't answer that question.
Why would you have a case that the BOE has 2.5 hours to make a presentation themselves, very well conducted because of the study that was just completed, and a week from now, the Porzio study that was completed 6 months ago and has been shared with everybody would not be given the same respect?
I just have no answer for you because you know why. This is the Borough of Atlantic Highlands is having. It was not just the Atlantic Highlands Elementary School Board of Education. This is an Atlantic Highlands town hall for the residents of Atlantic Highlands. So we want to have the most information presented to them, including the most recent information.
Bottom line, we're all moving in the same direction. Like you said, the Reader's Digest. Everyone's on the same path. We have to all come together, work together, so that we can get this done. We have to pass the resolution so that the commissioner can look at it, and by August 14th, we're hoping 14th.
15th.
I was told the 14th.
It's always good to be a day early.
I was told the 14th. I was told the 14th, repeatedly. Okay. And so we'll have it so we can have a referendum. We're all, like you said before, we're all moving in the same direction. You know, the information will be getting out there over the summer, even into the fall, so that everyone can make their decision come November.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Corinne Messina, 49 East Lincoln Avenue. You're going to try and take some deep breaths and try and remain calm. And I would also like to comment about the tragedy in Texas and something that I really think about. A teacher in our town once talked to me about wearing many hats and how important that is in this town. And I wear many hats. I am a parent. I am a resident. I'm a board of education member. I'm a school nurse at a neighboring district. I wear a lot of hats. And I've learned a lot through this process about things like harassment, intimidation, and bullying. And that is a very key issue that we address by the Board of Education. And I think it's important that we keep that in mind throughout this entire regionalization process, that we represent to our children in Highlands, in Atlantic Highlands, in Seabright, how to work together, be kind, be honest, be upfront, work together as a team, and really show our children that we can do it. What I'm seeing here, and at the risk of being a headliner of another blog post, you know, I don't understand why this is our thing. We're working together for the kids. Mm-hmm. And I was very pleased with the study last night. I thought it was excellent. That's really coming from my resident hat.
speak up there in the studio. Elizabeth Ephraim, our board president, is actually on the Zoom. She was unable to attend this evening due to an illness, and she asked me to read a couple things for her as it would be clearer with me speaking versus her over the Zoom. She's sorry she's unable to attend. And as for the Board of Education Week grant study finally said, time is of the essence, and we are keenly aware of that, and we are ready to go full steam ahead, and any suggestion to the opposite is unfair. The mayor's suggestion to have a meeting with mayor's board of ed chair and then VAs is welcome. But it's first, obviously,
without
hearing of it, so if you could...
You just had your study last night.
Again,
mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. I'm not laughing at... Okay. Go ahead. No.
Let's not have conflict. That's what we're working towards in our...
Okay.
Reduction of conflict. So, we do think it would be beneficial. And we've been saying that all along. I've stood up here at these council meetings numerous times, as has Elizabeth, saying we need to work together. And we're just going to keep saying it and hope that it starts happening. Because if one thing was very clear in the study last night, was that that's key for all of this. If we don't work together and provide a cohesive message in the wording of, you know, and I'll admit, I get a little confused with the resolutions, and that's why we have legal counsel to help us understand this. Our language should be mirroring each other. We should be on the same page. We should be presenting a unified front to the Department of Education and to, hold on, what's the other thing? Sorry. The DCA? Yeah. If they see us handing things to them that are so apart from one another, they're going to throw it out, and then we're losing time, and time is where the money savings is. So please, let's work together on our wording and work together as a team on this. The upcoming Board of Education meetings for the Tri-District are June 13th, 14th, and 15th, and once again, we welcome all of you to come to a Board of Education meeting to ask questions of us as well. I'm reading through this report. Elizabeth, if you can hear me, if there's anything I missed, please feel free to chime in. Once again, please, let's stop the arguing and let's start working together and let's show our children how we can do this together as a team.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Broadbent.
Tom Broadbent, 125 East Ann. This is Perry Gina. You had mentioned that you're looking at the wall on Ocean Boulevard. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I have some information that might be very helpful. So last year when we were having the conversation about parking on Ocean Boulevard, I contacted Monmouth County, and I contacted the engineer. At the same time that was going on, we had a massive flood, and what happened is some of the rocks came off that wall. So I had a conversation with the engineering group, and they had acknowledged at that point in time, when they put the Jersey barriers up, that they were going to be responsible for rebuilding that wall. So if you'd like my assistance, I can go back to my notes and we can make a phone call to them, because they were also talking about replacing that bridge section. So there may have been a side budget when there was lack of clarity, but it's pretty clear that Monmouth County is going to do that
The wall we were speaking of earlier was the Upper Prospect,
okay,
up the ramp.
But is this the one where he was doing the study with the...
So the wall that you're speaking of with the Jersey barriers, we had met with myself, CME, Jimmy Phillips, and others. We met with the county engineering team several months ago. So in 2023, they're going to repair the wall. They're not going to replace it,
okay,
but they are going to repair it. They're also going to do other things, of which, for example, the bridge. They're going to put a new surface on that bridge.
Okay. Right. Same theme or engineering. Was there any follow-up on Jersey Natural Gas and some of the rip-up of the roads
to make a determination that they may not have fulfilled their obligation of paving the whole way and move forward with sort of cost sharing on the paving.
In general or on a specific road?
We may have talked about at least on East now. We have discussed maybe doing a complete survey of the town, cross-checking permits and matching up. I'm not too sure what the date of the resolution of ordinance was that stipulated that when they cut into right. the road, they're responsible, but it was part, we're talking about cost savings across the board. This is one of those areas where I think we could probably add another million or so if done properly and if it's a priority. So I just wanted to follow up and see if anything like that had happened.
Yeah, so we can look into that further. We have had discussions with New Jersey Natural Gas relative to their work schedules for roads and relative to roads that they have worked on and what corrective actions they've taken, if any, have been required relative to the resolution that we had. So I think we're all up to date with them, but by all means, we can always look at it again and investigate again.
I would suggest doing forensic on it is probably a really valuable process. It might not take that long. So that was one thing. The other, last week, I really appreciate you sitting down with me talking about
Pine
Creek and the fence. One of the things I didn't hear in your survey was possibly when at least the fence where the retention pond is, the ferry canal, when that may be happening, if that's scheduled, or where we stand on that.
It's right now it's not scheduled. We're still looking into whether or not we even have the permission or the right to do it. But we are looking into it.
Okay. So one of the things that came up in our conversation was about the legal liability associated with the insurance company. So my understanding is if you're an insurance company here in the state of New Jersey, what we say in the clause is as lawful. So even though they may have a requirement, there is a clause in there that says they can't supersede state law. So I if there's lack of clarity mm-hmm. on that, we need to go to an insurance expert to help guide us. I'd be happy to assist on that. So
I could look into that again. I mean, at this point, the GIF's concerns have been more geared towards the safety. In fact, they recommend that a wall, that a barrier fence be there.
Right.
In fact, they recommend that, if anything, extended higher.
Right.
But they're coming from a safety perspective, right? Relative to altering that to allow the terrapin through, we're looking more into do we have the authority to do it?
Okay. So I would suggest that, again, the non-disturbed areas on the west side, it's next to the house. Common sense would say that a fence to protect from some little kid wandering through would be just logical. But to maintain that area, it should have a gate just like anything else. And one of the things we talked about was the community, and you have a beautification committee. You have the people that are in the neighborhood that were invited to South Avenue Park. Like, this is where public comment and contribution is really required. And many people have approached me, okay, and they would really like to see something wonderful come out of that. You have the beautification committee that has discussed putting wildflowers mm-hmm. down on the other side. You have businesses that see this as the backyard, and that can be developed. It's an asset. It's consistent, again, with the Mini Mine Creek Greenway. I like the idea of creating a walkway in that area. I am not a fan of impervious surfaces or sidewalks. So what people traditionally do, including the county, and the county could be a partner in this, the county could actually give money and help buy an easement to continue the park, is to use cinder or shell. So what we should be thinking mm-hmm. about is something that is appropriate in that area that ties the wetlands, ties the beach together. And we can come up with something that makes a lot of sense, whereby people have a walkway not on the busy road, but off of the way. So, I consider all that open space. I consider it all open campus, and many people do. One of the other recommendations was to go ahead and come up with some public gardening. You know, I'm of the belief that you don't take grass away, you don't take floodplain area away. So I'm not a big fan of angular parking, and you'll get resistance from me, and you might get resistance from other people.
But what I have implored is that let's come up with a long-term solution for the parking. Again, I'll state that the ultimate solution is not us putting a bond to build a garage. What the ultimate solution is identifying legal parking with proper setbacks, working with the state, coming up with a very comprehensive financial approach to solve the problem. And, you know, the greatest need for parking in this town really has to do with people visiting and also other people using the C Street. So, you know, I think we need to, again, have a conscious view of a minimum 50-foot setback on that, which will cost C Street 250 parking spots. So the idea is, how do we work with them? How do we work with the community to solve this problem? We don't all of a sudden say, you got to move that 50 feet away. We have to come up with a plan now. We have to come up with a funding approach with the state that builds on a transit hub, builds on a sales tax. Think of this as like a financial exercise that says, we've contributed $3 million in sales tax, now we want it back. You know, Mr. Governor, you want environmental setbacks, you want ESG, you want green, you want flood protection. You have to help us. Look at what we're doing, and now let's make an economic case for the solution. So I would like to know if there's anything we can do as a group with the borough where we can do a fundraiser for Mayor Mike Creek. So, in fact, we can put topsoil down. So, in fact, we can go ahead and put wildflowers down. So we don't have to do it in a guerrilla way. So we can do it in a very consistent way, maybe working with the Department of Public Works, and make this thing look good. This thing seems to look really, really good in a very, very short period of time. And that's the kind of impact we want. We don't need to go through a really rigmarole process. We can just bang it out and get it done following the guidelines. So is there a mechanism that would enable the community to do fundraisers, take in kind, and...
It sounds basically like the same thing that Councilwoman and Councilman, but that they wanted to do with the shade tree.
Okay.
So it comes down to, you know, the 501c3s and our accounting.
Okay. So maybe what we do is we do a sidebar, not involving the borough as a community.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the approach to work with... Does the borough own all of the property on Kennedy Lane?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so a question like that, I'd have to sit down and look at the maps with the engineers and figure out the details of the delineation and what have you. Relative to the park in and of itself, you know, as a business administrator, my role is, I work with the GIF, right, make sure what, if anything we do is in compliance or at their recommendation or not. And then on the other hand, if we're even permitted by the DEP and or New Jersey Natural Gas remediation terms to do anything. And if we are, is there a time frame of which we have to wait first before anything is done? Beyond that, the governing body can decide to do things that they vote to do through resolution, right? And then we also have the beautification committee that
mm-hmm.
handles projects alone as a committee, right?
And then open space also.
Open space.
Okay. So then I would request that we put forth a resolution that would enable us to go ahead and take down the fence on the pond, and that we begin to look at what our liability and responsibility is based on what the state and federal law says about non-disturbance setbacks. So I may come make that proposal. With respect to the Shade Tree Commission, if everybody has looked at the resolution of remediating and the restoration of the project, you notice that currently there are 96 trees that are 6 foot and above. What the plan called for was 136 trees. Okay? So right there, with cooperation with New Jersey Natural Gas and the suppliers, there is another 36 of our trees that this community can go ahead and place in that area. You can put a dollar figure on that, and that could roll over to the Shade Tree Commission. It could be a combination, but that needs mm-hmm. to be looked at. And you would ask yourself, why are these extra trees not planted? There's a logical reason. The logical reason is where they wanted to put the trees, the fence is up, and they were never able to go ahead and restore the
the property, which they're Hennessy owns. Okay, that's the reality here. So I want to come up with some really good creative solutions as to how to get this done. Mr. Rollmeyer had mentioned that South Avenue is on path. What we had agreed at that meeting was to involve the community. So the community 3 weeks ago had chimed in, wanted to participate. Mm-hmm. So do we know when we're going to go ahead and put another date out there and get their feedback? So actually, their input is really wasn't just an ask.
No. We will do that. I'll work with Doug. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you, Mayor. Mark Fisher, 9130 Avenue. Just to continue on with some of the comments I heard about last night, I too felt there was some excellent very well planned, very well executed. The consultants were very knowledgeable, obviously, about your study. And I was actually very surprised that the two studies now are not that far apart. But some of the things I heard, somebody mentioned one of them before about, moving forward quickly. Some of the other comments were, we can be the shining star. This is the perfect storm, sooner rather than later. And the priority on trying to get this moving quicker was reinforced many times over. So I'm just going to put the pitch out for the resolution again. As soon as we can do it, it was supposed to be tonight. I was a little annoyed that it wasn't on the agenda, as promised at the last meeting.
You're correct.
But on June 9th, if all of you aren't going to be here, does that mean we're not going to vote on it again?
No. Well, we will have it on the 9th. We will.
I know.
But I wanted to make sure that Mr. Crowley and Mr. Brockie were here.
A suggestion for you, Mayor.
Sure.
When you have a meeting with the other mayors, the Board of Education presidents, the VAs, and whoever else is going to be there, lock the door and don't come out until you have a signed agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And that can go to the commissioner, whether it's before or after the resolution. But that would be a huge positive sign to the commissioner that you've got to all come together and we need to make this thing happen. Mm-hmm. Just a suggestion. Morgan isn't here, so I'll ask the question. Cannabis. We'll move to that.
Mr. Cross and I had a conversation about a week ago. I replied to an email from Mr. Brockia that said send it to Mr. Senna, and I believe Mr. Senna now has it.
Yeah, and I'm supposed to speak with Councilman Brockia, I think you tomorrow, right?
I don't know when we're speaking,
okay.
But
I'm
available.
Yeah, no,
we're all going to be in the same room tomorrow night.
Talk about
I don't think we can.
I had penciled it in for noon tomorrow. If you're available,
care. We're gonna talk.
Yeah. So that's, and then I read the email and I get the points. So we just want to make sure we're on the.
And I think what comes just as a little color commentary. I think what comes to council is gonna be something we're gonna have to amend. After we introduce and have a workshop, but I think that what we sent to Mr. Senna is where the committee is right now, and one member of our committee has been very vocal that he's completely against it, Mr. Knuckle, and we very much welcome his participation in that committee.
Mayor, I respectfully feel that if the town hall meeting is out here, it'll be canceled. This room is not big.
Right.
After seeing how many people showed up last night, plus all of the electives and consultants, this room can't handle it.
Correct.
As soon as the professionals show up, you're close to
having it
canceled. So I honestly feel that either the Hess Center or back up at this school or even the
short casino,
if you add, if everything else is closed. Just my opinion on that. Anything new on Mother Teresa? And that's a two-part question.
Well, if I can interject, prior to Mr. Senate making any comment, there is a walkthrough scheduled with the redevelopment planner of the facility on June 1st.
Is the church aware of that?
They are aware, and they've approved it, and...
What time is the walkthrough?
I don't have the time here, but it's not for the public. It's for the redevelopment planner and myself and a few other individuals.
That's what I'm saying.
Second part of the question is, would you, Mr. Senate, do you review that tax lot question?
Yeah, I thought we had talked about it last meeting. I'm sorry if I...
You had that paper with me.
You did, yeah. I thought we talked, I was going to say, you were, I think you were here, but anyway, the issue is, so the way they drew, those lots were prior lots that were merged into a single lot. So it's all the same lot. They're not, the dashed lines are not separate lots. They were at one time, no longer.
But the rule is basically, if the church name of the diocese appears on the deed, it's...
As long as it's used, it's not really the ownership, it's the use. So the fact that Parish Center is used, you know, the tax assessor is certainly aware of the issues, I've discussed it with her, but the fact that Parish Center is used for a church purpose, you know, she's the decision maker on that issue, but I think that's probably an exempt use. It is currently exempt, so I don't know. Yeah. It's...
We were going to follow up on the marine pump out facility from the last meeting, where the money was going to come from. That's the answer to that. Local, county, state, federal.
It was brought to us by the state.
Okay.
So I'm assuming it is the state. It was something that was brought down. So they just basically wanted us to back it so they have the right to move forward. Right. They just want the support of the municipality, like Brian said.
Okay, my last question, and thank you, Councilman Dougherty, for bringing this up twice at the point before the last two meetings. When will we be known? I haven't heard an answer.
No.
When will the town say, we are at a point where if the money is allocated, we can do a parking traffic study? When will we be known? When will IL as the parking committee chairman, this town will be considered normal to move that forward?
What do you mean by normal? What is...
You've
asked the question. I'm asking, what do you mean?
I asked the question about having a parking and traffic study. Now, I was told when we're back to normal. I'm asking you all, how do I know when this town is back to normal? What do you consider that?
I would assume that when we come to you and say, let's do a study.
Okay, but what determines that? Is it business increases? Is it C Street's back to 80% or 90%? What is it? Well, how do we know? How are you going to say we're there?
Nothing.
Well, Mark, I would say most businesses tend to look at where their business was
prior.
Prior March 2020, I would think that you'd be looking at leaving ridership on C Street where they were at that time versus where they are today or in the future. And the same thing with business and traffic flow.
Okay, but will it be a new number? Will it be 100% of where we were in 2019? 80%? 60%? What is the new normal? That's what I'm asking. So we can progress things.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the parking committee could propose some parameters for that to the council for us to consider.
Okay. From a business perspective?
The parking committee could tell us on every perspective and we could consider it.
Okay.
I think it's multifactored. And if you're, you guys have the most invested in it right now that I think, and you have a great group of people on that committee that have a variety of perspectives. So I think if you could come to us with some suggestions that might help us get there.
Good.
Thank you.
Good evening. Mike Harney, 30 feet behind Great Desk. I just wanted to urge you, I'm not going to be at that next meeting, but I'm going to urge you to pass that resolution. I've read both the reports. I attended the meeting last night, and it's true that the Corsio and the Kane studies are almost identical planning capacity. You won't have to buy a desk.
Mm-hmm.
See why it's the, if there's a perfect community to move into Hudson right now with the declining, unfortunately, our declining population, you see why. The thing though, the one thing I noticed though, is when McCain was talking last night, and I didn't realize this until I went last night, was they were hired to do the 3-to-1 district, to take our 3 current districts and bring us to 1. The Seabright was an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
So their main mission was to study that, and they came up with a savings, an easy savings of about $400,000 by getting rid of, you know, various administrative people and that sort of thing. One board and that. You know, not in my life. Of course, the Seabright spends about $3.7 million now. So, which is not as much as I thought it was going to be. It's not, it's a lot, you know, so it's not as, I thought they were spending a lot more, but they spend about 3.7. So when you add that to the other savings, I think their savings is about 4.2. But what's important about that, it's every year. That's 4.2 because Seabright bring that in. In other words, they're not really spending any more money. Mm. It's all going to be revenue coming in. So, but the other part of it is, it's complicated, it's going to be 5, 6, 7 years before you get any of that money. Why? Because the kids have the right to stay where they are. They're in the first grade and second, they're going to stay and as long as they can, or if they're just, you know, whatever, it's very flexible situation.
Right.
So my question is, well, not for tonight, but I think you have to consider, are you going to move ahead and form one board first? Because before, not for the resolution, but after that, because I know to form the one board, then you're not going to see by dealing with 3 different boards. You want to have one, at some point, one board. Mm-hmm. So I think that's
a question for Dr. Beams.
What you've done at the same time, that's what you are studying,
mm-hmm.
the same. So,
see
why
we've
never
out
of the question.
Will you just name an address, please?
Yeah, maybe we can, conversations offline.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Okay.
If we're going to finish up, sounds like we're getting close to the finish.
I think that has to be, see, by the time you're going to get any benefits, see, for years. So what happens in the next 3, 4, 5 years, you're still going to have, you know, 3 boards. Does that make sense?
No.
So you have to do the mechanics and the referendum.
Right.
And you go to the DCA from the first, the one board first.
That's basically what the study said last night.
Right. Yeah, that was the same. I just think that's a question for the Board of Education,
right.
Perhaps at the next board meeting.
No, I think it was. I think that was their point last night. In state, what they basically said was you should go forward with this first, and then go forward with the Seabright thing. That goes simultaneously. Anyway, that's all.
Okay, thank you.
Makes sense.
I'm also doing 78 Grand Avenue on the Atlanta Board of Education. So the interesting thing about the four-year study and as well as the Penn study, even though we're on the same...
You have to look up here. I'm sorry.
Even though we're on the same path, the Penn study includes the new legislation. Because it includes the new legislation, it creates an easier way for us to do this more immediately than what the four-year study had suggested. Four-year study had suggested dissolving the 3 schools, creating a whole new one, as well as bringing in Seabright. So this study is saying, and the law is, the perfect storm is because of this new legislation, right? It allows us to increase basically the capacity of Henry Hudson School District to include our little elementary schools, still invite Seabright to join us, and at the same time, we go down, that's the biggest difference, is we'll go from a 25-person, 3 boards, to 1. Whereas the kids and the teachers go to school, basically their lives haven't really changed. It's the governance that has changed, and then we will add Seabright. The only reason, and Seabright was never an afterthought, the Seabright was always included. But because we weren't sure, and the lawyers were very clear about this last night, because we were not sure of their situation with school regional, we want to make sure that we are not in any kind of peril included with that. And that was really it. There's always been an inclusive nature from the Board of Education for Seabright and the three schools to join. It has only ever been because we were concerned about the short regional and the Ocean Park piece of it and how that would affect us. The other part of that is because of Anaconda's the situation, there was never an apportionment that would make sense for us. There was never a benefit to Anaconda. So now that we can potentially share the cost of it with Highlands, there's a benefit. They get our vote, we get the benefit of sharing some of the cost savings. So there's we're not quite sure why the Poisner study is still being entertained, considering the fact that their study, even the update, was done prior to the new legislation coming into effect. And it's the new legislation, which our study has included, that allows us to move forward faster, immediately, which the Board of Education will need, and we will have a recommendation for how we should go forward. So that's basically, I think that covers the points that you're making.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mayor, who was it that just spoke?
Allison.
That was Allison Jacobs.
Allison,
thank you.
Thank you, Allison. That's the most accurate portrayal I've heard of everything this evening. Thank you.
Hi, Curry Messina, 49 Lincoln Avenue. I got really nervous before, so I'm going to calm down since then. One other thing that Allison didn't talk about, while we are very appreciative of the fact that Seabright has signed this, what is it called? Thank you. And the lawyers spoke very clearly about this, how the risk remains. And the risk might not be that there is a lawsuit. It's the time. It's the potential delays. Any potential delays leads to a loss of
state funding.
The benefit of locking in our state funding for our schools. Mm-hmm. And that piece. So while I appreciate it, and I understand that everyone wants to keep repeating, well, they said that they will cover. They can't guarantee us the time that might be impacted by any potential legal issues.
Thank you.
So
thank you.
Everyone, Deaver, again.
Mm-hmm.
Couple comments.
Can you just your address, please?
Paul Craven's Lane, Seabright, New Jersey. Couple things that I just want to say. I'm very encouraged by the fact that it sounds like everybody is moving in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To be honest with you, it's the first meeting that I've been at that it actually sounds that way. And I think a good reason for that is because the BOE study is out, it's understood, it's well presented, and it kind of mimics the Poisner study. The Poisner study was actually the update that was done a month or so before the legislation changed. And the Poisner team was actually involved in helping write the legislation. So that updated study fully reflected the changes that needed to come down the track.
Okay.
The second thing I would say is I was on phone calls with various people, including Paragoons, when statements were made. We may include Seabright. We may include Seabright. There was never a statement of this study is intended to include Seabright. I heard those words out of the superintendent's mouth. Right? So I don't think I was mistaken about that. To me, the most interesting thing about this point is it was asked last night how many kids are in Seabright School. I know perfectly how many. It's 20 in Shore Regional and it's 26 in Oceanport. But when the study was done by the BOE, we didn't get one question in Seabright. Not one inquiry in the administration department. Just ask us, how many students do you have? What are the demographics? What age? We weren't asked one question. And even in light of all of that, the study still came out saying, it's the best thing to do for all three parties to bring Seabright in. And we recognize in Seabright that we are getting the advantage of having an excellent education system that we don't have our own. But we're also bringing a lot of money, right? And we want to make sure it's fair and equitable, but both sides benefit here. Very few students, no additional facilities, no additional teachers, and a lot of money paying X times the cost to educate your own kids. So, for me to hear that Seabright was always included, it obviously was not. Because that was the words from the leadership, and not one question was asked of our town about anything to help the study.
Okay, thank you.
But in fairness, we certainly asked Porzio the numbers of students, and we've asked how many students were out of District 2. So they're your legal representatives, so certainly the question was asked of those folks.
Well, Mr. Crowley, last night when it was asked for the DOE, they said, we have absolutely no idea how many students are in Seabright. We don't have that information.
Well, we certainly don't have the information about how many kids go out of district. That was made very clear by Porzio on more than one occasion. And maybe there's a confirmation of that. Maybe there's some confusion over that. But that was a question that's been asked, and nobody ever got the answer.
Well, I don't know why you're referring to out of district. Okay, but the question that was asked yesterday very clearly was, what is the information about the number of students in Seabright? And the DOE's answer was, we have no idea.
Well, the reason the question was asked about the number of children out of the district is because those are costs that everybody involved in a regionalization program would want to know. It's very important.
When you say out of district, you mean out of Shore Regional Ocean Board?
Going to RVC, Granny.
Yeah. Those are children that can't meet, that the school can't meet their needs, and the school must send them elsewhere.
I understand that.
Okay.
And the other thing I would say is a very good point made about transition, right, that's going to happen. So there's no way of exactly predicting what's going to happen with the kids that come over. We are going to grandfather, when this gets approved, we're going to grandfather anybody in the existing school system. We will not force the parents to take them out and move over. But there's going to be some parents that want to make a change. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the first one. The next one is, anytime a transition happens between schools, you're going to get moved over. And anybody coming into the system from outside, anybody that moves into town, and there's a lot of dynamics to that. So I know we can't exactly predict what it is, and in fact, yesterday, the DOE took a guess. They said maybe it's 3, 5, 12, 16. They took their best guess. Mm-hmm. In any event, the number, and Mark Antier said yesterday, it's going to be less than 60. Right? So I don't think there has to be any concern about being overwhelmed by the number of students we have. And unfortunately, our demographics in Seabright are going what appears to be in the same direction as your towns. And that's less students, mm-hmm. which is not a good thing. And that's why consolidation is so much better, because it happens on that path and we don't change something that's unsustainable. So I'd like to comment about the perfect storm. For anybody that was not at the meeting last night, one of the main guys, Brian in the middle, I don't know which Brian it was, because right? There were a lot of Brian's there. I thought his quote was one of the best that I heard about the whole subject. He said, if this team, this DOE and these councils pull this off, you will be the shining example of education advancement and, you know, regionalization in the state of New Jersey. Mm-hmm. That was the DOE lead sitting on the dais. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, and there's a lot of issues that have to get resolved, and there's a lot of angst in the system, mm-hmm. but I believe we all want the same thing. The best education at the best price for our taxpayers.
Thank you. Anyone on Zoom? Didn't we have a minute?
Yes, Mayor Ford, Hanfrey.
Okay.
He's identified as guest. Yes.
Okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, this is this is Elizabeth Ekstrom, 123A East Highlands Avenue in Atlantic Highlands. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm ill, not able to be there, but I've been listening in. I want to first thank Corinne Messina and Allison Jacobs for being there as representatives of themselves, as parents, as well as members of the Board of Education. I also was ill last night and not able to attend last night's meeting, though of course I read the study, listened in to the meeting, so that I'm caught up as much as excuse me. I would like to say that I do look forward, Mayor, to a meeting, as you suggested, mm-hmm. as less than a year ago, last August. Mm-hmm. I look forward to having that sooner rather than later. So I look forward to that. and I would also, like to say that regarding a June 6th town hall, I'm not sure, the end of the school year is very busy with mm-hmm. concerts and ceremonies, et cetera, so I'm not sure on the availability of the administration nor the experts, and board members. And as you may have noticed, and as some people have said again this evening, the presentation last night was done very well, but it took a lot of planning and work to ensure that the information was clear, that it was given in a way that was understandable to the public, there are a lot of members, and that it went smoothly, right? So that makes me concerned, all of those things sort of make me concerned about a June 6th meeting, whether it would include Porzio and or the Board of Ed meeting grant study as well. I'm just not sure if that's a realistic thing. To do, but certainly we should meet the chairs and the mayors and the administration. I do also want to reiterate, so our upcoming board meetings are the 13th, 14th, and 15th of June. Please, the Board of Education members have been either listening in or attending your council meetings since January of this year, right? And intermittently prior to that, but regularly since January, almost every single meeting. I don't believe, at least at Lanark Highlands, that we've had the attendance of council or the mayor at our meetings. And a lot of times, well, at pretty much every one of our meetings, Dr. Beans has given updates as to the regionalization study. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to spend time right now going, you know, answering all of the questions or any of the potential misunderstandings that were raised in the comment period this evening. But I do encourage members of the public and members of the council and whomever else is able. I mean, you guys have a lot of meetings too, so I understand. We've been attending more meetings so that we can stay up to date. And I think that some of the communication may have been better or could continue to be better if you're also able to come to our meetings where mm-hmm. Dr. is there and able to answer questions herself rather than be talked about. Dr. Beans is an incredible school leader that we, I have the way that I understand it is, you know, we did a very thorough superintendent search a year ago, and it was a very strong applicant pool. And Dr. Beans, from my perspective, we've gotten a lot more than we even knew. She's an incredible school leader. She's very, very dedicated to all three schools in the district, to the staff, to the children. Her vision, and you know, she's been bogged down obviously by COVID, by regionalization, other things, but and her curricular vision and inspiration and trying to reach all children is really very inspirational. And that often comes through at these monthly Board of Education meetings that we have. So I feel oftentimes that she is not given her fair representation whenever I've attended or listened into these council meetings. And I want to ensure that, as was demonstrated last night, she is quite professional and knows how to organize a thorough meeting. And is really there for the best interests of the district. I do think that regarding regionalization, we certainly agree in the study that we also just got this week as well. You know, that it's not like we've been sitting on it. We received it virtually mm-hmm. at the same time everyone else did. We agree based on that it is in the best interest of the school and town communities to work together rather than in opposition. And to move as swiftly as possible, right, for the most savings. So we are certainly on board to do that, and we'll be moving as swiftly as we can. So I look forward to working with you, Mayor, and other parties that should be there. And again, thank you. In addition to thanking Allison Jacobs and Corinne Messina, also thank you to Ms. Northrup, because you are a veteran attendee as well. So thank you for speaking up and sharing. So. That's it for right now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Jim Krause.
Jim?
Yes. Okay. James Krause, 77 Bayside Drive. You can hear me okay?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
First, for borough attorney, I am available as a member of the task force, cannabis task force. I am available tomorrow at noon, either by Zoom or by telephone. I'm also available from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. anytime tomorrow.
Why not?
6 a.m. sounds great. Just kidding. Okay. Well, that's very good. Thank you.
So, I think Councilwoman Hohenleitner has my cell phone number if you need it. Now, as for regionalization, I have a number of comments. One is I want to thank the two gentlemen from Seabright who I think had some very valuable input tonight.
There's only one.
Same gentleman.
Same
gentleman.
Oh, it's the same. Okay. I agree wholeheartedly with Councilman Crowley. I think if we make a presentation, or if the borough of Atlantic Highlands makes a presentation to the residents of Atlantic Highlands, that we should hear at one time the reports from both. Both experts, hopefully it sounds like maybe they are close in agreement. As for Councilman Bond's comments on the cost, this is such an important issue for so many years going forward. So for not only the taxpayers, but also the parents and the kids in town, if we have to spend a few extra dollars to pay these experts, it's de minimis. It's something that we should not hesitate to do. And along those same lines, my understanding is that the Portillo report, if my understanding is correct, was to focus on what this potential regionalization means to Atlantic Highlands, then before any presentation back to the residents, and also any presentation back to the council, we should ask them, and pay for it if necessary, to ask them what they think of the Keene report, whether there are any issues that they don't agree with. In my business career, I was involved in a lot of mergers and acquisitions. The devil is in the details.
Mm-hmm.
I think the regionalization concept is great. The fact that New Jersey has over 500 townships, boroughs, etc., and I think over 600 school boards is one of the reasons why it's so expensive to live in the state. If we need to, let's spend a few extra bucks, have everything presented at one meeting. I hate to end this on a sour note, but I forgot to mention it before. And I'm glad that there are members of the board, the boards of education listening tonight. It was great to hear that the presentation last night was wonderful, and that how much planning went into it. But I was severely disappointed that I couldn't attend because I was not in town. And although I could have zoomed in, I tried to listen on streaming that one of our local residents did, and I couldn't hear anything. So a message to the boards of education. If you want to promote this, if you want to make this happen, please be more transparent. Come into the 21st century. Follow the example of what our governing body in Atlantic Highlands has done. This is great.
You need to put that forward to the board of that.
The board is going to put the audio up, I think, as of tonight on their website. You'll be able to get the audio of the recording.
Okay, great.
Mr. Krause, the reason I brought that up was just because I wanted everybody to be aware that there is a cost associated with this. It just doesn't come for free. And I didn't want anybody to forget that, I believe they had, four different consultants there yesterday. And, you know, there's just an association with the cost of that, that's all.
In the long term, it's de minimis. You don't know what the meaning of de minimis is?
I understand, I do understand what the meaning of it is, but I, like I said, I just want to...
You just put it out there.
Somebody's got to pay for it, and I know it didn't, you know, it's not going to come from us.
And for the audience who don't know what the letter...
We don't know if there's a cost, so stay tuned.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kraus. No, I mean Mr. Kraus is done.
Jay Smith.
Hello?
There's a tremendous amount of reverberation, sir. If you have a microphone or something on in your home, please lower the volume.
Maybe, John, if you're on a laptop, your audio may be doing the reverb, too.
No. You turn your speakers down, the gentleman does.
He needs to turn off, he's on two devices, and he needs to turn his device on his second device, the sound off.
Barely.
Oh, how about now?
Yes, yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, Jim Smith, Holly Springs, Mississippi. Ms. Mayor, I thank you very much for making a accommodation for Mr. Crowley to join the meeting this evening via telephone. It's disheartening that you couldn't grant the same or a similar accommodation to my mother, who has a disability. You know, I thought I was disgusted about it until I heard a council member drop the F-bomb tonight. In addition to being unprofessional, that's just classless.
Thank you.
Dropping the F-bomb in a public meeting as a public official that's being broadcast via Zoom over the internet. Ms. Mayor, I sent you an email on the 13th of May. Didn't get kicked back today, so I would assume that you've received it. You didn't have the integrity or the professionalism to respond to that. But I wonder, did you listen to the last planning board meeting?
No, I did not.
You don't have to answer your question.
Well, again, it just shows the utter contempt that elected officials have for the people that put them in office. Mr. Cacamo, and I probably pronounced his name incorrectly, and I gave you the time stamps,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's about 5 minutes and 2 seconds in. Said the meetings should not be broadcast, and applicants' intentions should be kept private. Some people might not want their stuff broadcast. Everyone should not know everyone else's business. And why should someone on the other side of town have a say on someone's application? Then the planning board went on to insinuate that the public was stupid and that they should teach classes on what the planning board does. Well, Ms. Mayor, I think you should mandate classes about the Open Public Meetings Act that declares and grants the right of the public to be present at all meetings of public bodies, to witness in full detail all phases of the deliberation, policy formulation, and decision-making of public bodies. It goes on to say that it's vital to the enhancement and proper functioning of democratic processes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't... Are you paying attention to me or the
rest?
No.
Nobody is.
Hang up.
Yes. No, stop. Stop.
Yeah, everybody.
We are paying attention to you.
No, you're not, Ms. Mayor. You're speaking to somebody else.
You know what, sir? And
my legal counsel.
I don't, nobody in the room appreciates your tone.
I don't care who he is.
Well.
You know what?
Join the club.
I'm asking the legitimate questions and I demand your attention.
Okay.
I want to know. Why you don't
need a response? This isn't a deposition. It's a public comment. So you can say what you'd like to say, and I'm sure that the governing body will listen.
Well, Mr. Stan, why don't you walk home? Because that's what you said when somebody put a reasonable accommodation request in. Walk to a meeting.
Okay.
I have no respect for you. I wasn't speaking to you. I don't need to speak.
I think, Mayor, I think this member of the public is becoming disruptive. Yeah, I think this, sir, this is your second warning. This is your second warning. So you can either finish what you're going to say or we're going to move on to somebody else.
How about warning your councilman not to drop the F-bomb?
Right. Okay, thank you.
Let's move on.
Thank you.
Yeah, oh, I have a lot to say, so.
Oh.
We have Zach Brown is next.
Okay.
Calling from San Francisco. Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Jim Spicer. Shout out to Fish. I am in San Francisco, and I am not in Canada for this meeting, and my husband wants to kill me. But I would like to say that I don't know how they do things in Mississippi, but in New York, New Jersey, cursing is just a part of life, and I actually really appreciate Councilwoman Hollenbeiner's passion in this regard. We live in extraordinary times. And I actually found it classless that anyone felt the need to reprimand her. I think that everybody knows what happened this week at the elementary school in Texas. And if you're not up in arms and upset about that, then I think that's a bigger problem than dropping the F-bomb. So I'd like to say that. And of course, as per usual, I am here to advocate for Medicare for all. There's been a lot of discussion about what we can do about guns and to stop mass shootings, and no one thing is going to solve the problem, but I think we can all agree, and I've had conversations with many people on the council, that mental health is a huge aspect of it, and obviously Medicare for All would enable any single American access to mental health care at any point in their life when it is needed, and not at a point where something bad has already happened, or, you know, we just need access to these things to prevent these tragedies, and I appreciate the council members who did respond to me regarding the Medicare for All resolution. I know you guys all have a lot to play with regionalization, and this isn't necessarily an urgent issue, but I do think that this would be a really nice thing to do for the community, signal support, to move towards actually doing something, because, I mean, I'm getting emotional because I don't even have kids, but if anyone is paying attention to the news, like, if our kids don't feel safe, then what are we doing here? So that's it. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you. Morgan, I saw the books last night while I was placing the gifts on the auction. I think they're spectacular.
Thank you so much. We are so bummed that we're missing the PBA call, but we'll be there in spirit. So I hope everyone has a good time tomorrow night.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
No further hands, Mayor.
Who's that?
Still on the line.
Oh, Morgan, you're on.
I hang up my hand.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Mm-hmm.
Motion to adjourn.
Are there any further hands?
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
You can do it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. I'm hoping that everyone can make the memorial at Veterans Park on Monday. So.
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm out of town, but my friends are going to be
10:30 down in the marina.